I looked it up on Wikipedia, you know, that paragon, that granite foundation of all things news. I love Wikipedia, don't get me wrong, but it's not always right on the money. But I looked on Wikipedia. Hey, Wikipedia, how many people have claimed to be the Messiah or Jesus? In the 1700s, I'm sure there were more, but just for comparison's sake, Wikipedia said there were two in the 1700s that claimed outright that they were the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Kondratai Selivanov, Russian, as you might imagine. And we had one here in America in the 1700s. Her name was Anne Lee. So in the 1700s, or in a 100-year period, Wikipedia only accounts for two. In the 1800s, there are six. You got guys like Baha'u'llah, John Nichols Thom there in the UK, William Davies from Walla Walla, Washington. I don't often get to work that in, and I figured, what the heck, you know. Walla Walla, Washington, you're on the air. Larry King. Then in the 1900s, this last century, guess how many Wikipedia catalogs? I know there was a lot more. But Wikipedia cataloged 23. See how it's gone from 1700s, only two, 1800s, six, and in the 1900s, here, 23. Sun Myung Moon, Bach Juan Rosh Nish, any of you from Oregon? And then, of course, David Koresh and some of those, but 23 in the 1900s. Of course, there were more, but for the purpose of comparison, guess how we're doing here 17 years into the 2000s? Eight already have come out in no uncertain terms, I am the Christ. By the way, if you do the math, you're on pace for 35 this century. Including Oscar Hernandez, who on November 2011 fired 9 shots with a Romanian SA semi-automatic rifle at the White House. Why? Because he believed that he was Jesus Christ and that Obama was the Antichrist. Is it safe to say that those claiming to be Messiah, is it getting less or more? More so. And at the same time, you know what this is? This is seal number one. Hold your finger here in Matthew and flip over to Revelation chapter 6, and let's go back and forth, okay? Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, I'll read it to you, and you can follow along if you'd like. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, or the first seal, I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see!" Verse 2, and I looked, and behold, a white horse. Some have confused this with Jesus. Isn't Jesus on a white horse? Yeah, but his white horse is very, very different. Let's look at some more distinction about this fellow. And he who sat on it had a bow. Now, this is a bow that would accommodate an arrow or a missile. But for you Bible students, remember our exercises? Get a hold of a word. Look for its first mention. The very first time that the word bow is used is not for artillery. It's the rain bow. And where is that set after the flood? In heaven. And it was a signet of a covenant or contract. Yes, this one will have a bow of war, as we'll see in a minute, but I suggest a deeper meaning. He's going forth on his white horse, a conquering horse. And in his hand, he may have a bow, but it may also be a contract. A covenant with whom? The nation of Israel. For 7 years. For your consideration. And a crown. The word for a royal crown is diadem. That's not the word here. This word for crown is Stephanos, and it means the victor. This guy's going to go out to crush some people. Went out conquering and to conquer. If you want to know more specifics on how he does that, get our tape and our teaching on Daniel 11, verses 35 through 45. But let's keep cruising in Revelation. Now we're in chapter 6, verse 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. hearts. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. This is fascinating. If you've ever wondered, why does it say nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom? Aren't they the same? The word there for nation is the word ethnos in Greek. It's where we're going to get our word ethnic. Jesus is saying one of the signs of the end times in history will be ethnic people really upset with other ethnic people, and kingdom against kingdom, or if you will, national regions. So in history as a rule, there's always been ethnic sort of tensions. The Hutus and the other group there in Africa. We have ethnicities completely intolerant of other ethnicities. We don't want to talk to them. We don't want to hear their plight or their challenges. In the world, there are 10 official wars, as the U.S. has described them, and there are 8 other active military conflicts recognized by the United States, and there's 64 countries and 576 militias currently involved in armed conflict. But what is that? Well, the worst ones considered 10,000 deaths a year. There are 4 of those. That's the Syrian Civil War, the Civil War in South Sudan, the war in Afghanistan, and the Mexican Drug War. Have we always had war? Absolutely. But in the last century alone, we had how many world wars? It is estimated that there has been enough explosives manufactured across all the world. There's enough that's been made to equip every single human on the planet with 40 tons each. By the way, how many humans on the planet? I checked. As of October, 7.6 billion. Does this have bearing on the book of Revelation? I think that's seal number 2. Revelation chapter 6, verse 3. And when he opened the seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And then I saw another horse, a fiery red one, went out. What color is the dragon described in Revelation chapter 12? He's a red dragon, and he is a red beast in chapter 17, verse 3. And it was granted to the one who sat on it, this red horse, to take peace from the earth, and the people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. The Antichrist is going to be responsible for Joseph Stalin, responsible for millions of deaths. Mao Zedong, responsible for millions. Adolf Hitler, directly or indirectly, is responsible for 70 million deaths. When a people by and large thumb their nose at God, and they will not listen no matter what God does and no matter who he sends to them, he sometimes gives these awful humans a great sword. The book of Revelation will be no exception. Jeremiah 25 says the whole earth is going to be affected by that war, and all the nations. How did he come to power? Because he promised great peace. Flip now back to Matthew. We're going to have wars and rumors of wars. And there will be famines. Planet Earth has enough land and resources to feed all of its 7.6 billion people. Did you know that? If you spread people out over the planet, there's plenty of room. There's plenty of room for even double the size of the current population. There's plenty of land and there's plenty of resources. Why is 1 in 9 humans on the planet starving? It's because of the awful human governments that are frustrating God's beautiful plan of sowing and reaping. That's why. It's the human's fault. Political systems and corruption and wars restrict food population. And if all of this world is in chaos and conflict and wars, Is there any time to plant or harvest crops? So what's happening to the food supply? It's shrinking greatly. That's true in the world today and in the book of Revelation and seal number 2. Now we're at seal number 3, the black horse. Back to Revelation chapter 6, verse 5. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Go!" So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. You have to think Jewish to understand that model. Black is often connected with famine. For you Bible students, Lamentation chapter 5 and Jeremiah chapter 14. And to, quote, eat bread by weight or scales, that's a Jewish expression for food is very, very scarce. Continuing in Revelation chapter 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, a quart of wheat for a denarius, that's a full day's wage, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil or the wine. Oil and wine was perhaps the most typical food products that would be in any cupboard at this time. Even the poorest of the poor would have those. But it is such a famine at this point, the most common staples become now the most precious, like gold. Pestilences, now we're back in Matthew. Pestilence, right, seal number 4. Pestilences and earthquakes, actually, is what it says, didn't it? Do you know that the U.S. Geological Service has clearly documented that, yes, planet Earth has always had earthquakes. But if you've noticed and done any research on this, earthquakes are way more intense than they ever have. And the frequency between a 7-point earthquake and the next 7-point is moving at a geometric rate. Let's get back to pestilences. AIDS, Ebola, bird flu, and some of these resistant strains of bacteria. Have you heard those? Revelation chapter 6, verse 7, and when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the four living creatures say, go! And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. That's the Greek word chloros. Pale, like chlorine. Did you know it's the same word, the shade of green, referred to as leprosy? This horse is not doing so well. He is very, very ill. And behold, a pale horse, and the name on him who sat on it was death, and hell, or the grave, or Hades, followed with him. There's going to be lots of people dying. Well, that makes sense. You had war, then you had famine, and because there's not enough food or medicine to go around, who's the next round of casualties? People dying of ghastly, greenish diseases. And power was given to them over 1/4 of the earth. If we're almost at 8 billion, that would be 2 billion people would die in this. To kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and by beasts of the earth. And we think, so the lions are going to go nuts on people. Well, it could be lions, but the word here is therion. And it just means beasties. In the top spot of the most deadly animal on the planet, what would you say it is? The lion, or the tiger, or the bear? You know what it is? The mosquito. And of course, it's not really the mosquito, is it? It's the little bacterium. And what about the influenza outbreaks over a period of time? Back in the 1300s, the Black Plague. In Europe, 1 in 3 humans die. And that was true across every population and ethnos, except for one group of people. Take a guess. The Jews. Through the laws of kosher and washing. By and large, those that kept the kosher laws, they were fine. And much of Europe narrowed their eyes at that group of people. Why are we dying, 1 in 3 of us, and hardly any of you are perishing? And then later, around the 1400s, the Edict of Expulsion is issued in Spain. Jews, you better get out of Spain. And then England and much of Europe followed suit. And many Jews had to flee for their lives yet one more time. Flip back to Matthew, verse number 8. And all these are the beginning of the sorrows. There's your word, Odin, birth pains, as we described. Verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Write seal number 5. That's the martyrs. Planet Earth is going to get war instead of promised peace, terrible famine instead of prosperity, worldwide unstoppable disease, and guess who they're going to blame by and large? The Jews and the Christians. And they're going to get wiped out. Verse 11 in chapter 6 of Revelation. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren would be killed was completed. There'd be a lot of people who didn't believe Jesus, missed the rapture. But then when stuff starts coming down in the Great Tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, a lot of people are going to receive the Lord Jesus, but they're going to be killed systematically. And those that are killed are termed tribulation saints, and many of the Jews will be as well. Back to Matthew. Now we're in verse 10 of chapter 24. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Read that in another sort of understanding. Stark terror will grip the lives and hearts of most of the people on planet Earth. Back to Revelation chapter 6. This is seal number 6. Let's look, verse 12. He opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth. These are bolides and meteors falling on planet Earth. And as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a wind, then the sky will recede as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. That means probably Revelation chapter 16, which describes a world earthquake that is so intense that the fish in the sea get seasick, that the birds flying through the air get air sick, and that every wall, every human construction will topple, and every mountain will be affected. That's probably Jesus restructuring planet Earth, getting it ready for the millennial reign. But verse 15. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man. What are they doing? They hid themselves in the caves and the rocks and the mountains and said to the mountains, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Wrong prayer. The right prayer is, oh Jesus, I am yours. Why is God rocking the planet so much? Because those that have the smallest heart to respond to him will do so. And those that won't, that will stick their proverbial heels in the dirt, no matter what God does. Verse 17, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Chapter 7 of the book of Revelation answers that. 144,000 specially anointed, they have a seal on their head, and none of the seven trumpets and seven bowls will affect them. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 24, and we'll end with verse 13. But he who endures till the end, and his gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, then the end will come. And there are some who say, well, the whole world has to hear the gospel? Well, there you go. Jesus can't come back for the rapture until we, the church, get the gospel out to every nook and cranny of the globe. There are some that say Jesus can't come back until that happens. So there's still some tribes that haven't been reached yet. Well, see, Jesus can't come back. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 says that God sends an angel flying across the sky. And he preaches to every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every people. That means Jesus Christ could come back when? Anytime. Let's all stand. We love and serve and worship a beautiful, and I mean beautiful, God. If anything is beautiful, it is so because it has a design to it. If it's music, mathematics are a beautiful formula in science or chemistry. If it's a lovely face, God designed it so. If he is a God of love, and if he is a God of holiness, which is to say purity, then by definition, he has to judge. If he winked at sin and destruction and evil, then he would not be the God that he claims he is. Because he is a God of love and of purity and holiness, he must judge sin. But that same God zipped up a human suit and came to this planet, and he stretched out his arms, allowed his body to be pinned to a cross, and allowed the humans to spit and belittle, strip him naked for all to see, and chide him. Some savior you are. If you're really the savior, then come off the cross. Can you hear the hissing tone of the demonic behind the human words? He resisted the temptation to flex his star-making muscles at that point. Bing! The hammer slammed into the nail. Bing! One more time. And Jesus Christ said, not I'm going to get you. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How could a God of love do such a thing as the book of Revelation? Because if he is a God of design, if he is a God of beauty, if he is a God of purity, then he has to be a God who judges. But before he judges, make no mistake, listening son and daughter of God, make no mistake, he has made every effort in your life for you not to go through that. Will you finally receive him this morning? Then you can say, perhaps along with me right now, Lord Jesus, I give you all my life. You washed me by your innocent blood, shed for my sin. With my brain, I get it, your innocent blood, for my blackness and darkness. And now with my heart, I give you all of my life. In Jesus' name, and the rest of us very grateful said, Amen. Amen.